I wish I had pointed the words out to you before we sang it, but go back and read it sometime. That's a wonderful song. Turn with me now, if you would, to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. And let's read from verse 33 to the end of the chapter. Romans 11:33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. I love that. I sincerely love that. He said, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. The wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Someone made the statement a long time ago that if we knew what God knew, we wouldn't change anything. I've quoted that quite a bit recently. If we knew what God knows, we would not change anything. We would not change anything. In the flesh, we would change everything. We would. We would literally change everything. But if we knew what God knows, we wouldn't change anything that has happened to us. Not one thing that has happened to us. We wouldn't change anything that has happened in this world. Not one thing. If we only knew what God knows and what he has purposed in everything that he's doing, we wouldn't change any of it. None of it. Verse 33 says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom, the wisdom, the wisdom, and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. The title of this message is, his ways are past finding out. They're past finding out for everybody, for all of us. They are past finding out. The Lord's ways are not our ways. They are just not our ways. Twice in the book of Proverbs, Solomon said, there is a way that seems right to a man. It seems right to him. He's thought about it. He's pondered it. He's made a decision on it. He's rationalized it, and it seems right to him. But Solomon said, the end thereof are the ways of death. And it's always the case. It's always the case. We have ways that seem right to us, but they're not right. And I'm talking about myself. I'm talking about myself. They're not right. Our ways are wrong. And only His ways are right. If our ways coincide with the Scripture, that's not our way, that's His way. I'm talking about our way. It's wrong. And only His ways are right. Our ways are evil. Only evil continually. That's all they can be. And His ways are good. Only good continually. That's all they can be. Our ways are fickle. They are unreliable. They're unstable. You can't count on them for anything. You cannot count on them for anything. His ways are certain. I mean, they are ordered and sure, certain, absolutely certain. Deuteronomy 32 says, all His ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, that means without sin, just and right is He. His ways are judgment. His ways are judgment. Habakkuk 3 says, His ways are everlasting. There's a scripture, I believe it's in the Proverbs, and it says, what God does is forever. God does it is forever. His ways are everlasting. His ways are judgment. His ways are everlasting. And our text right here says, His ways are past finding out. Even we try to understand what our Lord is doing. But they're past finding out. For a mortal man, a sinful man, it's just past finding out. Look with me, if you would, at Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, verse 6, it says, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked, and who's that? That's us. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Man naturally thinks that he's on par with God. He thinks that he has the ability to negotiate with God. He thinks he's in a cooperation with God, some type of partnership. But sinful man naturally doesn't even understand God. He does not know God, and he does not understand God. Man naturally does not understand God. You talk about the understatement of a lifetime. Men and women, by nature, because of our nature, we cannot understand the ways of the Lord. We just can't. Turn with me to Job 11. Job 11, verse 7 says, canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection, unto His fullness, the perfection and fullness of God. Verse 8 says, it is as high as heaven. What canst thou do? Deeper than hell. What canst thou know? The measure thereof is longer than the earth and broader than the sea. How could a sinful mortal man understand the perfect, holy, infinite God? He said it's higher than the heaven. We can't even barely get into just past the firmament of earth, much less the ends of outer space, much less the third heaven. He said, what is man going to do? You're going to go find out the infinite God? What can man possibly do? Psalm 36 says, thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep. Too high and too deep for me. Just too high and too deep for me. Never could we understand the ways of the Lord. Never. But even though we don't understand the ways themselves, and we don't, I don't understand why all the things happen in the world that happen in the world. I do not understand. You know, somebody says, well, explain this to me. I honestly can't. I can't. I do not understand. But even though we don't understand the ways themselves, God has revealed to His people the purpose of His ways. Even though we don't understand the ways themselves, they don't make sense to us. What is God doing in this? Even though we don't understand the ways, He has revealed to His people the purpose of His ways. He has revealed the end of His ways, the reason for His ways. And that's where our comfort comes from in all of His ways and everything that we see happening. That's where the comfort comes from. Even just in that, a believer, when honestly a believer, when the Spirit enables that believer to enter into God and enter into these things, even with just that, a believer doesn't want to change it. And we know that's so. A believer knows if God has done it, I don't want to change it. I don't understand it, but I don't want to change it. Go with me to Deuteronomy 29. Deuteronomy 29, verse 29, it says, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Even though we don't understand the ways of the Lord, He has revealed to us the end of His ways. And that's what I want us to focus on for just a minute. We can rest and we can find comfort in all of His ways. And it's because He has told us what the end of those ways are. And if we can get a hold of that end, if we can just honestly look to and see that end, we will find some true comfort in all of His ways concerning us. All of them. Now, we are so quick to judge believers in the Scripture. I'm going to say that again. We are all so quick to judge believers in the Scripture. We do that because of how they responded to the Lord's ways. It's recorded. The Lord did this. They did that. You know, it was terrible on their part. And we think, what's wrong with them? The children of Israel in the wilderness. All they did was murmur and complain. You think about all the things. God brought a pillar of fire, a cloud to lead them by day, stay with them by night. He parted the sea. He had an infinite amount of water gush out of a rock. He made bread rain from heaven. They go one day and be murmuring and complaining. God's going to let us die out here, you know. And we think, what in the world is wrong with them? Why couldn't they see and get it and understand what is wrong with them? Do we realize that we literally do the exact same thing? The exact same thing. The Lord does wondrous things for us. And it's not 24 hours later. We've forgotten it and we're... You know, we have less of an excuse than they did because we have the end of their story recorded. They didn't have the end of their story recorded. We can see how it turned out for every one of them. I think all the time about the apostles and the disciples who they were called of the Lord to go preach Christ as the fulfillment of the Old Testament. The Lord sent them out two by two and they would go out and preach. And they had the Old Testament. They had Genesis, which told them about the woman's seed who was going to have his heel bruised in the process of crushing the serpent's head. All right. They had Exodus, which told them about the Passover lamb. And God said, there's not going to be any deliverance until I see the blood of that lamb. John the Baptist made it very clear. Christ is the Lamb of God who has come to take away our sins from us. They knew what had to happen to the Lamb. The book of Numbers told them about the serpent on the pole. Our Lord said to everybody, these things were not done in a corner. He hid it from nobody. Scripture keeps saying his fame went out. He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must I, the Son of Man, be lifted up. And if you look to me like they looked to that serpent, you'll live. Psalm 22, they had Psalm 22. It declared his very words from the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Isaiah 53 declared the very events of the cross. He would be taken from prison. He would be judged. He would be killed. He would make his grave with the wicked and the rich in his death. It told us why that would happen. It was because it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased the Lord to lay the sins of his people on him. It told what the end result of that would be. God the Father would be satisfied and all of his people would be redeemed. Spelled it all out. Not only that, the Lord told them time and time again. We're not going to take the time, but I could show you where the Lord told them over and over. I am going to go to Jerusalem. And I am going to die. And I'm going to be buried, and I'm going to rise on the third day. Every time he told them that, we can read it. Every time he told them that, the scripture says they could not understand what he was saying. How much plainer can it get? They just couldn't understand what he was saying. They didn't know why he was saying that. Every time he said it, they became so disheartened. It got to the point where they quit the ministry. They lost all their hope. They lost all their faith. They lost all their confidence. And when we look at them, we say, what in the world is wrong with them? He plainly told them. He told them how it was going to be and what the end would be. He plainly told them why these things had to happen. Not only that they would happen, but why they would happen. And they were plainly told what God's dealings with them would be as a result of it. What in the world was wrong with them? What in the world was wrong with them? Here's the response we need to have. What in the world is wrong with me? I probably ought to title this, What in the World is Wrong with Me? What in the world is wrong with me? We have been told the exact same thing that they were told. We have been told this. We have been told, Psalm 25:10 says, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. All of them. To them that are in His covenant. We have been told that all things, and after you say those two words, you know what verse it is. We need to pause. We need to take a minute and realize that that includes all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. All things. We have been told that if God is for us, nothing can be against us. Nothing. Everything that God does to us, and let me say this first, everything that happens to us, God is doing it. And everything that God does to us is for us. He that spared not His own Son, the Son who daily makes intercession for us, nothing shall be able to separate us from His goodness and His love to us, which is found in the person of Christ Jesus our Lord. We have been plainly told these things. May God cause us to see it. May He cause us to believe it. May He cause us to trust in it and rest in it. Rest in every one of His ways concerning us, because all of them are wise and perfect, and they're all for the purpose of bringing good to His people. It's His way of bringing good to His people. I know that His ways are not our ways. I know we cannot understand those ways. But all of His ways are for the purpose of bringing good to His people. Look with me, if you would, at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The good that He brings is so good. It is so very good. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. First Corinthians 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. That means man cannot understand. Just cannot understand. Man cannot fathom what God has done and is doing for His people. Man cannot fathom it. All of these things that are happening to us here on this earth, all of them are bringing us to this glorious end right here. All of his ways, all of his purposes are for the purpose of bringing his people to this glorious end right here. We can't see how it's taking place. We just can't. But we're just going to have to believe by the faith of the Holy Spirit that it's so. God says it's so, and we just have to believe it's so. Verse 9 says, as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth, or that means discerneth, all things. Yet he himself is discerned or judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. What that means is our God moves in a mysterious way. His wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep in unfathomable minds of never failing skill, he treasures up his bright designs and works his sovereign will. Ye fearful saints, and that's what we are. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread. Are you afraid of anything? Are you afraid of anything around the corner? I am. I won't go into telling you what they are, but I am. I got some things I'm afraid of. They have not come to pass, but I'm afraid they might. Because I know his ways are not my ways. If I had my way, I wouldn't let them come to pass, but his ways are not my ways. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. If those things come to pass, it's going to bring good. I'm worried about them, but if they happen, it will only bring good. They're big with mercy and will break in blessings on your head. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Blind unbelief, and that's what I do all the time. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan his work in vain. God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. He will make it plain. Let's just patiently wait and trust his wisdom, trust his knowledge, and trust his unsearchable judgments. Oh, the wisdom. Oh, the knowledge. Oh, the unsearchable judgment. People ask all the time, for all different kinds of reasons. They ask all the time, why did this happen? Why would this happen? Why would something like that happen? It's for two reasons. Here's the answer. I don't know. I don't understand his ways. Why would that right there? I do not know. I don't understand his ways, but I understand the purpose of his ways. He has revealed the end of his ways, the reason for his ways. And it's two reasons. Number one, the glory of God. Why would that happen? The glory of God. And the good of his people. The glory of God and the good of his people. A moment ago we read, of him, through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Every way and everything is to the glory of God, and it's for the good of his people. Now, somebody sent me a scripture today, just as a word of encouragement. Somebody just sent a scripture. And man, was it an encouragement. When I read it, I thought that perfectly goes with the message tonight. So I want to close this message by reading it to you. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Second Corinthians 1, verse 3, and see if the Lord will let you enter into this. See if this is a blessing to you. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it's for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it's for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so shall you be also of the consolation. That's a comfort to me. That's a comfort to me. He said, be patient and be hopeful in all the trying ways, all the sufferings, because our God, in his wisdom and in his infinite knowledge, is using them to bring us to our eternal consolation in Christ. He knows what he's doing. Maybe I ought to title it that. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he is doing. He knows exactly what he is doing. He knows what he's doing. To him be glory forever. Amen. All right, let's all stand together.